Well, as usual, it's very wonderful to be here, and really, I just so many people that I've got so many stories in my life connected with. It's really, really gorgeous, and so many of you mean so much to me. And it's also very lovely to see some new people, and hopefully I'll be able to get to know some of you as well. That'll be really great. I do want to begin by introducing this gorgeous couple here. This is Farai and Katrina and baby Rumbidzai. And they're going to be speaking. In fact, I'm hoping I'm going to try and get them on fairly soon, because I'm really hoping that Farai is going to be unleashed this morning. Well, both of them. Actually, they are so gorgeous. So I've just come to introduce them to you from East Church, because probably you won't know them very well. So it'll be our pleasure to hear you a bit later on. It'll be really wonderful. Well, we have an amazing, amazing God. That is the thing, the main thing that... that we can't get away from. Whatever happens, whatever is going on, however hard it is, however great it is, there is never a stop to the fact that God is an amazing God. And I was recently up with one of my sisters up in further up north, and I'd never been to see High Force, which is a lovely waterfall. And I really wanted to go and see that, so we had a really gorgeous time together, and also just seeing this waterfall. And as we walked towards it, even before you could see anything, there was this thundering inside of myself as you just get towards the waterfall, and the power of it is quite overwhelming. And as you get near it, you know, words fail you, because you're just surrounded by this sound and this vibration and this visual sight of all this water just cascading down. And it sort of, I just stood there, and you just can't help but move from that to its creator, and to actually you just can't believe God's power. And that is just a small sign of God's power. And that's what it did for me. I was standing there, and it was just thinking, oh Lord, you're beyond all of this, and yet this feels so powerful, but you are beyond all of this. And yet then I just find it so amazing that this God, who is so powerful, is also so intimately and intricately involved in each one of our lives. And in such an amazing way, such a tiny way sometimes. And I'm going to need my Bible. That's one thing I do need. I thought I'd just start by reading from Isaiah 48. It's just a little verse. I know that you're looking at all of the things to do with going deeper with God, and also the fact that it's to do with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And but it's today, I almost want to go beneath that, and I just want to think about the foundations of who God is and how we can walk really closely with him. And this tiny little verse here, I've got a 1989 written in here, because somebody gave me this verse. Isaiah 48, and it's verse 17. This is what the Lord says, and it's talking to Israel, talking about the freedom of Israel. But for me, this was really, really special. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, he says, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. And I think, wow, isn't that so amazing that this massive God who created the whole universe should be interested in Israel as a nation, but also in us individually as people. How amazing that he is the God who teaches you what is best for you and directs you in the way you should go. And I think some of you might have heard the story from a long, long time ago. when I was actually leaving teacher training college, and I could have gone anywhere in the whole world, I felt. And my parents had split up, and I definitely didn't want to go back home. And I said to God, well, where shall I go? And as I was reading in Samuel, it said, and David inquired of the Lord to which town he should go. And I thought, wow. I felt really at one with David at this point, and I was really, really encouraged. But then it went on to say, and the Lord said, go to the town of Hebron. Well, the house that my mum had just been given by a farmer to live in with the family was called Hebron. And it was in Basingstoke. And, of course, I asked God for confirmation. And I said, Lord, you'll have to confirm this. And, of course, after a little while, I thought, how ridiculous. Fancy asking for confirmation when it's so obvious that God wants me to go there. And so that's how I came to Basingstoke. So I am the Lord who directs you and shows you the way you should go. Absolutely and utterly amazing. And at that time, the church was praying for many teachers to come into the area because there were so many difficulties within the state schools at that time. And I can remember the church was praying for teachers. I was one of the ones that came as a result of that prayer. Dave was. And there were many others who came in at that time. Most people almost coming against their will, so to speak. And we counted at one point that there were 54 state teachers that came in around that time. And God really answered that prayer. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking for you, for Town Centre, and I was thinking, what is it that you want to pray for now? What do you need? Who do you need? And I challenge you to pray. What is it that you need to help you in Town Centre? Who do you need? Why don't you go for it? Is it musicians? Is it speakers? Is it leaders? Is it missional people, people who love the community? Who do you need? Well, I dare you to pray. Pray for them because God will send them in. It's absolutely wonderful to walk through life on the life, our life's journey with God. And I actually have titled this the talk this morning, Walking Hand in Hand with God. And I just wanted to start by just talking to you a little bit about somebody. I don't think I've mentioned her here before, but her name is Madame Guillon. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but you might have heard of her. she lived a long time ago. And she basically was a nun, and she was involved in what was the Roman Catholic, very, very institutionalized church in France. And she had the most passionate relationship with God. And it went against all of the great sort of the rigors of the legalistic religious society that they were involved in at that time. And to hear her talking, it's absolutely amazing. And she did write a book. It was translated. It was incredibly, incredibly wordy, but it was translated and made more accessible for us. But this is one of the things that she wrote. She was imprisoned a lot because of her love for God. She preached God and knowing him and being intimately involved with him. And this is just a little something she said. And it was around, just because David's here, I ought to get the date reasonably right. Because 1685, this is when she was writing. And just listen to this. It's a great, oh, the unspeakable happiness of belonging to Jesus Christ. Belonging to Jesus Christ is the true balm which sweetens all those pains and sorrows which are so inseparable from this earthly life. And she, you know, everything she writes is about encouraging us to know God more deeply. And the fact that as we know God more deeply, so his life and the fruit of the Spirit actually starts to flow out of our lives. So that it's not what we do so much as how we do it. So we can be doing the right things, like that religious institution appeared to be doing in France, but it was cold, and there was no true life of God in it. I'm not saying that that's a generalization. I'm sure there were areas where there were. But her influence out of this actually got to the royal family, and she started to be able to influence the royal family at that particular time. But just absolutely beautiful things. The Lord's chief desire is to reveal himself to you. And in order for him to do that, he gives you abundant grace. The Lord gives you the experience of enjoying his presence. He touches you, and his touch is so delightful that more than ever you are drawn inwardly to him. Just so beautiful. The whole thing is about this wonderful, wonderful relationship with God. And it's talking about, she talks about godliness. And of course, as we're concentrating on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we want more and more of that, those wonderful attributes. But it must be a godliness that has grown from within. If godliness is not from deep within you, it's only a mask. The mere outward appearance of godliness is as changeable as a garment. But when godliness is produced in you from the life that is deep within you, then that godliness is real, lasting, and the genuine essence of the Lord. Isn't that just so amazing? What an encouragement for us to go deeper into God. And it's all about that relationship with him. And I find that if I lose my relationship with him and that starts to fade, then the things, the fruit of the Spirit starts to fade and it gets distinctly, not very pleasant. And so the encouragement for us all is to remain in that place of being, of just longing to have that really close relationship with him. And I think we know that if whatever we look at is what we become like, and so we are looking constantly at God, then that beautiful fruit of the Spirit is going to be flowing out of us, which is just such an encouragement, isn't it, for us to remain in him, to really, really remain in him. And it's fun walking hand in hand with God. And I just wanted to read a little bit from Mark, which is the Great Commission. We all know this from Mark 16, just verse 15. And he said to them, to his disciples, and therefore to us, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And then we know that Jesus was taken up into heaven after that. But left us with that wonderful, wonderful commission. But that commission has to be carried out with the heart of God behind it. So the way that we touch people, the way that we might want to set people free, has to be so filled with the love and the compassion of God, so that people feel that we are channels of God's life and God's love. And this isn't about us all. That Great Commission, as we read just there, is about every single one of us. It is so disarming, the gospel, isn't it? Every single one of us, we can just touch somebody. There's such, just touch them in order that God's power can be released into them. That's so, so simple. God could have arranged an incredibly elaborate procedure, but he didn't. He just asked us to express his love by touching people and praying for them. Or from the skill of George, with the as we were hearing this morning, him using his talents and being able to express love and care and healing through the medication. And we've got all our wonderful medical people here today, and we know how absolutely amazing and significant that is. But I remember, you know, just just the other week at Celebration. It's the tiny, tiny things sometimes that I think that disarm me about what God is like. And I had to see two people, and I thought I mustn't go before seeing these two couples. I had to speak to them about something quite significant. I didn't know them very well. And at the end of the celebration, I was completely amazed because one couple came from one side and one couple came from the other, and they both came and stood in front of me, and I needed to speak to both couples. There was no reason in the way of timing or anything why they should have appeared in front of me. And I think, you know, from the hugest thing to the absolutely most, almost insignificant thing that you could treat as just perchance. And yet you know without question that it's God. Absolutely amazing. And I think one of the things that we need to do is to be really quiet. It was interesting what Linda brought this morning about you know, being still and quiet before God. Because I have got one of the things here is that we need to be quiet. We need to hush so that we can listen to God's voice. And it's when we hear what he says to us that then we can actually be his channels. But we have to be quiet enough to hear his voice. And I mean, even this morning, I mean, I personally was so encouraged. You know, Phil Petty, you know what he's like. He's always sort of listening to God and wandering about. And yet it was so encouraged me when he brought God's word. But he had one ear listening out to God. And it's just fantastic when it is so, so accurate. And I just think that God's voice is so beautiful. It's so compassionate. His voice is beautiful and compassionate. And in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden and they'd actually, they had made their mistakes. And God came after them. He was walking in the garden, if you remember. And it said they could hear the sound of God walking in the garden. That's what it actually says. But in Hebrew, that means they could hear his voice. Sound of God was his voice. And I just love that. There he was in the garden, and they could hear. Now, at that particular time, they weren't too keen on hearing his voice because they knew that they'd gone wrong. But just that's what we need to be listening out for. We need to be listening out for the sound of God. Every day, all the time, whatever we're doing. And it could be something incredibly practical. Could be doing something like teaching a small child. It could be helping someone who's mentally sick. It could be actually just being with someone in their last moment. So it could be caring for someone who's not got a very, very good leg at the moment. But we never know what God's going to call us to do. And it is so, so beautiful. And sometimes we don't even have to do anything, but we just have to be so aware of what God is doing that we just have to be. And I remember the story of Mary when she came and broke the alabaster box, pot of perfume over Jesus and anointed him. Jesus was only sitting, reclining, having a meal. Now, I wonder how it was that he knew that this was so significant. Every other person in the room thought it was a waste of time and a waste of money, but Jesus knew that it was unbelievably significant. And he actually said, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told. And it's because he was so in tune with the Father that he knew that what that woman was doing, despised by others, but he knew its significance, he knew its spiritual implications, and he knew the heart of love that it came from. And sometimes we don't need to do anything except respond in the way that God wants us to respond. And I just think that's an amazing story. He didn't have to get, he wasn't going out doing great things. He was literally having a meal, but he was so aware, he knew. He knew exactly. And I thought I'd just read a little prayer. It's a prayer that Mother Teresa's ladies, the Sisters of Mercy, I think that they're called, they pray every day. And it was written by John Henry Newman, and it was one of Mother Teresa's favourite prayers. And this is, I'll read it for us. Dear Lord, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only you, O Lord. Stay with me, then I shall begin to shine as you do, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Lord, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. Amen. It's beautiful, that, isn't it? It's just so, so wonderful. And God calls us to walk like that, walking hand in hand with him. And we never know what's going to happen. We never know what he's going to ask us to do. I don't know if I've told you once before. Sometimes he gives us just one word. And I remember the story of when we went to an Arabian state once. I was asking God, was there a great word I could be giving when I went over there? And he said, ants. And I don't know. Have I told you this one before? I don't know if I have. And I said, well, Lord, I don't think there can be ants in this particular place because it was so hot. But I thought, well, if God thinks this is the word, I must give it. So we were going around, we spoke in all sorts of places, hidden places up above shops and all sorts of things. And then one place, I thought, this is the place I've got to share my great word. And so I stood up and I said, I felt when I was in England that God gave me a word, and it was the word ants. And it was quite difficult to phrase it, really. It was quite difficult to know how to set the scene for this great word. And so, but anyway, I gave it. I felt I had done the right thing in the right place. And then at the end, there was this absolutely beautiful Indian lady that came up. She had her sari on, and she was so just elegant and lovely. And she had a little girl with her. And a little girl had a dress that had so many frills that you couldn't actually probably get any more frills. It was so, you know, just so tiny she was. A little bit bigger than Rumbid's eye, and she was walking about. And basically the mum brought her and she said, my little girl, since she was born, has had the sensation of ants crawling in and out of her tummy button. And she's in torment all the time. And I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that God would give somebody in one country one word to bring to somebody in another country to set a little girl who was about 3 years old free of this tormenting sensation that she'd had. And so we prayed, and I mean, I've never seen her again, but I know God touched her, else he wouldn't have gone to all that trouble. And so, you know, we need to be open and listening to his voice and then be postmen, post women of what God, that's all we are, we're just postmen of whatever God wants us to do. And we've got to deliver the post with his heart and in his way. So so anyway, I'm going to hand over actually to Farai. Farai and Katrine have been with us in East Church for a little while, and they actually live in Popley. And so we've been praying for people to go to Popley, so that's really nice. And they've just been through quite a tricky experience just before Christmas and given us a bit of a scare. And so, Farai, please come first and take your liberty. And if you do happen to get unleashed, go for it. Can you manage that?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having us here. It's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful experience. Something that always gets me excited is the Word of God. You know, it always stirs something in me, and it's wonderful. I think the theme that I've heard, and it's amazing because Hazel and I have not talked much. Actually, she's been talking to my wife, and but it's the same thing, because what I was feeling in my heart is the God who speaks. You know, and it's just amazing, because my testimony is that about 2 months ago, I had a stomach pain, which was not that much. It was quite mild. And the only reason why I decided to go to the doctor is because my wife was nagging me. And I decided, okay, fine, I'll do it. So Monday morning, I got up. I was really supposed to go that Monday morning, but I decided I think it's a bright idea for me to go into the meeting first at work, and then I'll figure that out when I come back from the meeting. But whilst I was in the meeting, it actually started getting worse. And I realized, like, perhaps my wife is right again. And I got into my car and got home, and she's like, you haven't gone, have you? I said, no. So we went back. We went into the walk-in center, and I just thought, well, we're just going to go in, get some antibiotics, and I'll be back again with my customers in the afternoon. And the doctor was like, I think you need to go to the emergency room. We went over to the emergency room, and one of the doctors there said, I think we need to call the consultant. And I was like, that's one guy above you, isn't it? I was like, yeah, that's two doctors now. I was like, okay, that's the third one coming. It wasn't looking good. Called the consultant, and the consultant said, I think we need to put you into surgery now. And I was like, oh, okay. I've got meetings in the afternoon. You know, but to make a long story short, sometimes God does allow some things to happen for a reason. Because I went into the hospital, got the operation, then after the operation, it was really bad. And I just started praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and people would come and pray with me. But something started happening now. Because whilst I was in there, I decided, you know what, let me keep myself company. I'm going to put on X Factor. I'm going to put on this. Put on X Factor, and my spirit was just saying no. Literally, my stomach was turning. You know, and I was like, okay, maybe let me flip some more channels. Maybe X Factor is not it. There was there, I think it was Beyonce live in concert. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect. And my spirit was saying no. And the word that was kept coming out is vanity. Switched that off. So I switched the TV off. Then I started praying, because that's the thing you would do, isn't it? I started praying, and my spirit started saying no. And I thought to myself, okay, what is going on? Do you know that sometimes you go through life with a monologue instead of a dialogue with God? Because you keep putting it up there, and you keep going. But sometimes what God is saying is, be still. You know, and the moment I just kept quiet, things started happening. It was almost like popcorn in my head going. And the word that he had for me at that time was, separate yourself. Take some of this junk away. Because it creates so much chaos in your life, you can't hear my voice. Because God is a God of a now word. He is not a God of a word that was heard in the Bible. He is not a God of the word that was heard in 1982. Yes, those words stand, but he is also a God of a now word. You see. So I just started listening to it, and it was going on. Simple things like my relationship with my wife, with my family and everything. It was just going on and on and on. I won't go into depth with it, because it was my word. Do you see where I'm coming from? But then at that point, I realized that there are some times when you just have to separate yourself from certain things, whether it's television, for some of you, whether it's certain friends, whether it's certain people, there's a need for you to separate yourself. This is what I learned at that time. It's the same thing, and the one thing that came to mind, I'm not sure, but the one thing that came to mind was Abraham, when he was told by God, take your son, your only son, the one you love. It's wonderful how he puts it that way, isn't it? The only son, the one you love, and go and sacrifice him in Moriah in a mountain that I will show you. And like Hazel was saying, that's not really a complete word, isn't it? Because, I mean, you're just being told, go to a certain place and sacrifice your son. Where is this place I'm going? And you're battling up everybody. Let's go. But you really don't have the complete word. Well, you think you don't have the complete word. But then God is a God of now word, you see. And they went up there. And when they reached the mountain, or as they were approaching the mountain, Abraham said to his servants, I love this part. Stay here with the donkeys. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. He had to separate them because he knew if they came, they would hinder the act that was about to happen. And he trusted God because he told them, me and the lad are going yonder to worship and we will come back. You see? And that's something. And what I've noticed about that, when I went into that thing of separating myself, for a certain extent, I actually felt lonely. You know, I actually felt a period of loneliness. Some of you are God this year. God is taking you to heights where even other people will fall off themselves. And you ask yourself, where are all these people who are supposed to be by my side? But God is taking you to a greater place. And you only realize it later on. Because even when Abraham went with his son, it's amazing when God is taking you to greater levels, the crowd gets less and less. When Christ was heading towards the cross, the crowd got less and less until even the people around started denying him. But see, that was the purpose. That was the ground in which he was to stand on. And the same thing will happen in our lives. I think the word, the now word, is actually, I just thought of something. Do you know, when Abraham lifted up his hand to put the knife down, I guarantee you, if these other lads were there, they would have been talking so much, there would have been so much chaos, you would not have heard the word saying, Abraham, stop. Isn't God amazing? Separate yourself. Separate yourself. This is the word that came to me. And it's going to be higher and higher grounds and greater things. And you are going to be walking now. And I'm telling you, when you walk into a situation, you know you can handle it because you know how far God has brought you. And this really to me is the word to separate yourself. And once you separate yourself, be still and know. No rabba shikandara bashiandara kiabasandara boso. Be still and know that God is ready to say something. That God is a God of a now word. You know, he is not, as someone once said, God is a movement, not a monument. Don't get stuck in certain ideologies or certain ideas or certain, God is a God of a now word. And like the lady said, he's unleashing you. But in unleashing you, you're not going to be running around. You're going to be still right there because you are about to receive something from the Master. Amen.
How do you follow that? Is this switched on?
Yeah.
Again, the theme that is coming out again is the being still. And I just want to share a little bit more about that experience. What Fry hasn't told you is that actually they thought he had appendicitis. But when they opened him up, it was actually much more serious. And he's very, very lucky to be here today. But it's so amazing because from the moment we actually walked into the hospital, God just gave me peace. And I knew that no matter what anybody told me, it was going to be all right. And I didn't actually share that with Farai till quite recently. And he was saying, you know, you were sleeping when I was in surgery. The surgeon phoned you at midnight to tell you what happened, and you were asleep. How could you be sleeping? How could you be sleeping? And I said, well, I could sleep because I had this incredible sense of peace. And I was told, you know, you don't have to do anything. There's no point worrying. I'm going to take care of everything. And I was able to just rest in that stillness and in that peace. And I just wanted to finish off by reading you. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
Thank you. That's just brilliant. Aren't they gorgeous, Brian, Katrina? So proud of them. And God's really, really protected them and preserved them. I'm just going to finish with one poem now. It's a poem which Helen Holly wrote, and I keep asking her if I can read it. It basically is about this wonderful, wonderful gospel that we have, and it's called Our Song, and this is going to be the final piece of this morning. So it says this, and after all we've heard, what more can we say but this? Our song has an amazing theme. Such a loud, confident, unequivocal theme. Such an absolute, radical, uncompromising theme. Let the theme of our song break out into a world without truth, without hope, without joy. A world without an amazing song. Let's not muffle the song or mutter it or be apologetic about the theme of our song. Jesus, you are our song. You are the theme of our song. Your redemptive grace, your startling grace, your redemptive love, your startling grace, your freedom, your forgiveness. We'll sing it out, this theme. We'll let the world hear our song, the one you've taught us to sing. So God bless you, and may you hear God's voice. I think he's been just speaking and pouring things out. Just hear him, follow him, and do whatever it is he's asking you to do.